Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We do want to share this word with you. You know, spoke about, because God's been telling us about things that are occurring. And listen, if you've been listening to VFN radio, we have been sharing it consistently.
Oh, yeah.
You want to do a search. If you're new to VFN radio, let me tell you, everything is cool. God has been speaking, and thank God for his voice. But you can research, and you can go to the Torch, VFN Torch, by going to VFNTV.com and typing the word prophecy. And God's been speaking and telling us about many things that are to come. But, you know, we shared not too long on VFN Radio a segment and a highlight called In the Day of This Disaster, Calamity, and Uncertainty. This was a previous broadcast, October the 2nd, which was before the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a word that God gave me, because just knowing of what was coming.
That's right.
And again, it's called In the Day of Disaster, Calamity, and Uncertainty. And we want to play this, and we want to come back and talk about this a little bit more. We can get some encouragement, perspective on what's happening. Listen up.
It reminds me how important everyone is in the kingdom of God. You think about it, you know,
every
joint supplies. There's no little I's or little me's or little. Everyone's important. You know, Ephesians 4:16 says that from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
That's
it's
right.
Like, man. There's no insignificant parts. It's just a lie of the enemy that'll tell you that you're insignificant in God's kingdom.
That's right.
It's just a lie of the enemy, because we all need each other. That's the whole thing. It's all of us coming together, praying together, functioning as the family of God together, advancing the kingdom of God together.
Right.
And we all are not called to do everything. I mean, God's, you know, Jesus gave the gifts to the church. That, you know, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, the five, you know, five hand of God, five, you know, five-finger hand of God, as they call it sometimes, which is the offices in the church. But they're to prepare God's people for works of service. They're not supposed to do all the works of service. They're preparing. And that's what the church is. It's a family. It's we're working together.
Right.
No little eyes. No big eyes, no little eyes. It's all one family under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But it's so, I mean, it's so, so important, because it's just what the enemy tries to do. The enemy tries to minimize, you know, who you are, what God's doing in your life, and I'll tell you that you don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
When my goodness, Jesus Christ died for you.
Right.
You matter a whole lot. You're very important to Jesus.
That's right.
And you're very important to the kingdom of God. You know, we all can do something. And I encourage you, you know, you get involved. Get involved. Share your testimony. And oftentimes people say, I want to do something for God. I want to do something for God. And they're maybe thinking, I can never do. Let me tell you, the greatest thing that you could ever do, one of the greatest things you could ever do, is share with others what Jesus has done for you. In fact, I had a chance to talk to Darlene. Darlene, I'm giving you a shout out there. Talked to Darlene this weekend, and she was telling me her amazing testimony on how God set her free, man. God set her free over 8 years. She had just battled drugs and stuff like that, and she's just having a hard time. And she, I mean, just a seed in her eyes, man, it was so awesome. She says, you know, God set me free, and I'm not ashamed. Let me tell you, God set me free. And
wow.
It's beautiful.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful when God can just set you free of anything that you're battling, any sin, anything that's designed to you know, by the enemy to wear you down and pull you down. You're not what you're being attacked with. That's such an important revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the enemy will try to take you out and saying, you're this, you're that. It's like, no, you know, I'm a child of God. You know, and if you've asked the Lord to forgive you and you've repented of your sins, you're forgiven. You know, if you prayed with all your heart and you meant it and You weren't giving God lip service. Don't believe the lies of the enemy.
Right.
Which, let me tell you, the enemy is sowing a bunch of lies these days. I mean, he is sowing a bunch of lies. And the things that were coming on the face of the earth, the things that we're facing and going to be facing, we need to know God. Man.
Right.
We need to have a serious relationship with him. And I was thinking about this, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about, in the day of disaster, we need encouragement. And I want to share some encouragement. We need encouragement because in the day of disaster and trouble and uncertainty, right?
Right.
We need to know in these shaky and uncertain times the one who is certain.
Right.
The one who changes not.
Right. Right.
And so it's so important for us to continue to trust the Lord. It's important for us to know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things is that we may be surprised when things happen. We may be surprised when disaster may suddenly come upon us. But you know, God's not surprised.
No, he's not.
And God sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow,
right,
all at the same time.
All at the same time.
All at the same time. And so, you know, if you're listening today and maybe you're facing a disaster, you're facing a challenging time. You know, a disaster is a calamity, an event, especially one occurring suddenly and causing great loss or damages or hardship. You're facing a disaster today. I want to encourage you. We want to encourage you today. We want to add faith and courage and add faith to you today because God is faithful. I mean, we have millions of people today that are out of employment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. If you're out of employment, if you've been discouraged and you're facing a disaster today, let me tell you, God is able. And we have folks that are sick in your body. You know, I'll never forget when my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, we got this report. I mean, he was in stage 4 cancer and didn't even know he had, I mean, just didn't even know it. And the doctor told him, you know, when you get these type of reports, and you know, my experience has been sometimes that, you know, doctors don't necessarily are so forthright in coming. I don't know why that happens, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I would say, just give it to me straight, doc. Give it to me straight,
right,
you know. But this doctor gave it to us straight, and he told my dad, he said, listen, I don't know how to tell this to you, sir, but you have 1 month to a year to live.
Wow.
And you're just like, wow, you know, take that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him and I having this discussion that night when we got back. We're just talking and having some dinner. He says, I don't get it. I just don't get it. He says, I feel fine. How could I be sick?
Right.
How could I be sick? And he went through, you know, a series of treatments and stuff like that. And I tell you, but the Lord healed him. He went to a time of healing, which was really tremendous.
Oh, wow.
11 years of healing, which was great. They told him that he was going to die. Now, listen to this. 1 month to a year. Okay.
Wow.
In fact, what happened was he had bone cancer, stage 4.
Huh.
He fractured his hip and didn't even know how he fractured his hip. Can you imagine?
Wow.
He goes into this pain. And the doctor says, listen, you know, we can put a new hip, you know, for you, but it could take you 6 months to recover. And our concern is that you're going to have radiation on that leg, and you just don't know how this thing is going to respond. Mm-hmm. And the doctor looked at him and says, do you really want to spend the next 6 months of your life? You know, you have a year to live. You want to spend 6 months of your life trying to recuperate? And, you know, this is a very serious question. But if my dad locked into what the doctor was saying, that you have 1 month to a year to live.
Right.
If he would have locked into that, if he would have locked into that report, I'm talking about facing the day of disaster, facing the time of trouble, facing time of calamity and hardship and shock, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he would have locked into that, he would have said, you're right. You're right, doc. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just hobble along and, you know, not go through this. He says, no, I want to go through the surgery. So I remember driving him down to Chan's down in Gainesville and he's having a surgery done down there, you know, or actually he got some special testing or something down there.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back, gets a report, and just, I mean, prayer, and we just gave it to God and just prayed over him. Man, 11, 12 years, I believe.
Wow.
11, 12. He went through the chemo, went through everything. It was probably one of the best, it's probably the best decade that he's ever lived. I mean, he's had some challenges throughout his life, and I mean, going through that trial,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it was amazing. All the things that God restored in his life, restored our relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just restoration everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, if you're going through a sickness today, if you've been dying, let me tell you, God is the healer. The great physician can touch you. He can heal you. He can not just heal you physically, but he can heal you emotionally. He can heal your mind. He can touch you from the inside out. And you got folks, Pat, that are dealing with loss of marriage. You know, oftentimes someone says that, you know, that I've heard them say, and we've talked to them, that going through a divorce sometimes is like going through a death. Because they're losing that type of a relationship, and you have children involved, and sometimes kids don't understand that, you know, it's, again, calamity, or you're going, you know, you have love, going through financial ruin, you know, and that's a tough thing. Or maybe it's the death of a loved one, or maybe someone you love is away and incarcerated somewhere, and just, there's just so many things you could just go on and on and on and on and on and on about. Right. But let me tell you something, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. I mean, we list these things because I want to relate to you and want to connect with you, because you may be going through something today, and I want to tell you that it ain't over. It ain't over till God says it's over. Let me tell you, God is still on the throne. He knows everything that's going on. He knows the very little hairs on your head at any given moment. And let me tell you, he's not left you. He's not left you. And often, you know, people say, you know, where's God?
Mm-hmm.
He's right here. He's right there in your life. And he's so close, you can reach out to him. The Word of God says that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. You know, everyone wants a testimony, Pat. You know, but nobody wants to go through the test.
Nope.
You got to go through the test. I always say, if you don't go through the test, all you got are the monies. You gotta have a testimony. You got to have a testimony. And God can pull you through. He can pull you through. But you got to trust him. You got to trust him. You need some things to be able to make it. I'm going to tell you now, if you haven't made the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, it's time. There's nothing like a sobering moment. There's nothing like a time that kind of knocks you off of your rhythm a little bit, kind of just pushes you off of your course, and where you're just realizing, wait a second, you know, God's got my attention. And I often say, you know, don't waste this trial. Why waste the trial? Why waste going through a tragedy, a calamity, a disaster, an uncertain time in your life without fully reaching out to God? And I'm not talking about reaching out for his hand,
mm-mm,
right? I'm talking about reaching out for his face,
mm-hmm,
to seek God. Let me tell you something. We're going to be facing some challenging times, but we can get through it with God alone. And God says, listen, man should not live by just bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you got to know him, and you can get to know him. You can get to know him. I mean, I often think about, I mean, the greatest miracle that God can ever do is the miracle of you coming to God.
That's right.
That's the greatest miracle. Mm-hmm. You making him your Lord and Savior. I remember walking on a college campus when I was just crying out to God. A calamity was going on in my life, you know what I'm saying? Just crying out to God. And I remember saying, God, I need to know. I need to know, like, the grass is green, like the sky is blue, like my name is John. I need to know. You know, I've heard of you. I've heard about you. I've heard the stories. But let me tell you something. When you're going through something, that's not enough. Mm-mm. It's not enough to know of him or about him or to have someone else pray for you. You can talk to him. I said, God, I need to know. And I one of the things I used to say many, many times, and I still say it today, be careful of what you ask God, because he might just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And God knew my heart, but I didn't want to settle for religion. And I didn't want to settle for this idea of God. I didn't want to settle for, you know, knowing of him and about him. I had came to a point in my life that I was going through so much. And I said, listen, you know, I'm like, I am at a point here. I said, God, I need to know you. And man, he made himself so real to me.
Mm.
He made himself so real to me. I remember, you know, and God's just reminding me now, you know, I remember when I heard God's voice for the first time. You know, I was crying out to God, and I received prayer. I actually came to God, and someone prayed for me. I went to go shake the minister's hand, you know, doing the cool thing. I was Mr. Cool Guy at that time, you know. So I go to shake the guy's hand, And just to say, you know, thanks, preacher man, you know, whatever. Thanks for this great message or something. You know, I didn't know what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And I go to shake his hand, and all he says is, "More Lord." That's all he says. Man, I fall down to the ground, and oh my goodness, my whole body just started shaking. I just couldn't believe this. And I start bawling. I mean, bawling. This is like in front of a crowd of people.
Right.
You got to understand this. I'm like 20-something years old at the time. I'm entirely way too cool, okay, to cry at this point. I mean, like way too cool. I just could not control it. Mm. And what I felt was the most amazing, amazing presence of God. I mean, it's just so beautiful. I just couldn't believe it. That was my encounter.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's encounter is different. You don't need an encounter like that. And I've known many that just said, you know what? I'm just turning my heart to God. Don't look for encounters. Don't look for different things. But I tell you, God can do whatever he wants to do in your life, but you can make it. He wants to comfort you. You know, 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." He wants to comfort you. He wants to gather you close. He wants to love on you during this time. We need encouragement. We need comfort. Another one he says, don't be so downcast. Don't be so downcast. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, who comforts us in all our trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Let me tell you something. You're going through something because you want to receive God's comfort. You want to receive God's blessing. You want to receive his encouragement. You want to turn to God because once you've gone through this, once you've been through the other side, once you've passed through the fires and you haven't been burnt, right, once you've been thrown in the lion's den and the lion got lockjawed and had no teeth, once you've been through this stuff, you're going to be able to go back and encourage somebody else. This is not a wasted trial. This is not a waste. Don't believe that for the enemy. You know, I like to say, wear your scars as medals. You know, God can pull you through this. And he can use this testimony to encourage other people and to strengthen other people. Let me tell you, don't be silent when God does something in your life. Don't be silent when God delivers you. Don't be silent when God rescues you, because he wants you to go back. I remember when Jesus goes out and sets Legion free. Here's Legion. Mm-hmm. He's tearing up stuff, ripping up chains, cutting on himself, out of his mind. I don't know, right? Out of his mind, and Jesus comes and sets him free. It's like, you know, before Jesus, madman. Jesus arrives on the scene. He's in his right mind, sitting down, combing his hair, you know what I'm saying, fixing his collar.
Put some clothes on.
Yeah, putting some clothes on, because he was just, you know, and he had him by the sea. And so he's like, okay, Jesus, I give you my life, and I will follow you wherever you want to go. And Jesus says, no, you go back, basically, and go tell them.
All right.
Go tell them that Jesus lives. Go tell them that the same one who set you free will set them free. We're talking about in the day of trouble, in the day of disaster, in the uncertain times when things look shaky and unshaky, who can you run to? Who's the one that remains the same? It's Jesus. He is the rock. He is the sure foundation. He's the one that you can depend on. He's the one he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I often say, man, I'm not in a position that I could turn down that type of love. I'm just sorry. I'm not in that place. You know, some people will forgive you. Unfortunately, they may not forget. But Jesus will not only forgive what you've done, but he'll forget. He won't even bring it up again. Mm. The Bible says that he separates your sins as far as the east is from the west. And I'm just like, man, that sounds good to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need that.
Right.
I need that. And he offers that to every man. He doesn't wish that any man would perish, but that they would come into an abiding relationship. Listen, you need to have an abiding relationship. Listen, it's not about getting a tape. It's not about reading a book. It's not about, you got to have an abiding, you need to know God for yourself, and you can. You can get a simple plan at iabide.org. get yourself a journal and start reading God's word and get yourself a plan where you can begin to tune your ears to what the Lord wants to tell you because he loves you. The other thing that you're going to need to survive during these times is the word of God. Mm-hmm. The word of God that's living, that's active, that's sharper than a double-edged sword. The word of God that speaks life and encouragement to you in your situation. There's nothing like the word of God.
That's right.
Man, you ever been through something where you're like, you're abiding that morning?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, how did he know? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this one verse, it's like life. It's life, because it is life. There's power in the gospel. There's power in the word of God to transform you, to build you, to encourage you. Because he is the encourager. He's the great one. Mm-hmm. So you need the word of God. You need the word of God in your life. You can't skip it. And now you look at the churches, like, you know, 19% of the churches actually reading the word every day. They're abiding. That's not a good place to be at. Well, it means 80% are not spending time with God daily. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you don't want to have to face trouble to start having abiding time. Now, don't get me wrong, abide at any time that, you know, if it's trouble or not, but you don't, mm-hmm. you want to start ahead of time. You want to start ahead of time. And to have a relationship with the Lord. You want to get in his word. I'm talking about unchanging. Yeah, I've been through some stuff, man, where you didn't know if you were coming or going, your head's spinning, and it's like, I just need to land somewhere safe that's steady because everything and everyone appears to be so shaky. Let me tell you, he is the one.
Right.
He's the one that changes not, right? And then you need God's grace. Mm-hmm. You need God's grace because there's things that you're going to be going through that you're not going to be able to go through it just alone. You're not going to be able to do it within your own strength. And one of the definitions of grace, where it's God's supernatural enablement. It's God's supernatural power, if you will, and impartation for you to do, Pat, what you couldn't do on your own.
Right.
It's like, you know, I can't even pick up my head today. I can't even go to work today. You know, I've been through stuff where, and I'm just being candid and honest with you, and I've been through stuff where I'm thinking, I don't even know if I can get out of bed today. I don't even want to look at a person. I don't want to have a conversation with anyone. Don't ask me. That's me. You know what I'm saying? I know it's just me. Like, Pat, that's never happened to you?
A couple times.
Chris, no, maybe. He said, mm-hmm. But I've been there.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, I need grace. I need mm-hmm. grace for the place. I need grace to function. And you know what? If you cry out to him, he'll give you such supernatural enablement. He'll give you such supernatural empowerment to break it. And it's so good. He can touch you. He can bless you. He can give you what you need. Just cry out for grace. Grace is like, you know, if you've ever been to the airport and you're flying out and they have along the hallway, there seems to be like not an escalator, but like a fan belt, if you will, like a belt, a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And you're walking through and you can walk in the center aisle like everyone else, mm-hmm. or you can walk on this conveyor belt for maybe 30, 40 feet.
Right.
But what the conveyor belt does, it just pulls you along.
Yeah.
You can actually walk on it, and when you're walking on it, it's like your feet are just, you know, bouncing up and down. You're just flowing with it. You're just moving supernaturally, kind of. You're just flowing down, and that's what it's like. It's because you're carrying a heavy load. Mm-hmm. Well, that's grace. Grace is an empowerment. You couldn't walk. You were tired. You went through all these airport terminals. You're carrying all these heavy bags, and like, I can't drag. You need grace. You need God's enablement to walk this thing out. You need grace to get from one concourse to the next. You know what I'm saying? From one hope to the next. You need grace.
Amen.
You need his word. You need him. And let me tell you something. God can pull you through. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today, no matter what you are facing, put your hope in God. You can trust him, and he is there.
That's so true. You know, here we are facing a calamity, even in the midst of a storm. Mm-hmm. You look at the storms of life. You look at the storm, natural storms.
Right.
This is it. This is the day of disaster, the day of calamity. You can trust God. I know it looks upside down right now. I know that things don't seem right. I know that maybe you don't have power and you're just huddling next to a phone. But whether you're going through a natural storm or a storm in your life, let me tell you something. The only one that can pull you through. Men have philosophies. They have ideas. They try to stick out their chest and pep themselves up and try to psych themselves to overcome challenges. Let me tell you something. The way you overcome is by first giving your life to God and keeping your head low, being totally humble, dependent upon God, and staying in His Word. If you abide with God, if you rest with Him, He will pull you all the way through.
That's right.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.